Hey, it's Michael Buckley with you here at 103.1 R&R on Hot and Sticky Sunday. It's hurricane remnants blowing through, making it kind of tropical out there. Hope you're finding a way to keep cool and enjoying the summer time, as am I. And one of the great things of summer is a lot of folks get together to play music, and once in a while, if you're lucky, you'll have a chance to attend a music camp. That's a chance to get together with like-minded musician friends and to create music, and also to learn at the same time, to kind of expand your knowledge and your skills and techniques in playing music. And one of the musicians from right out of our area here in Annapolis, Maryland, sax player Jeff Antoniak, has started one of these camps here. It's the Maryland Summer Jazz, they call it. And I thought it was an interesting idea. I'm really interested in promoting the idea of getting musicians together. Sometimes it's tough to find people to play with, and Jeff has done all he can, starting off with great workshops that he puts on at 49 West Coffee House every couple of weeks, and now with the jazz camp. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about the relationship between rock and roll and some of the great jazz players over the years as well. Jeff Antoniak on the artist interview on the Sunday brunch on 103.1 R&R.
All right. Very good. That sounds great. Let's do it one more time at a different tempo. Let's do it. All right, so Billy's Bass by Charlie Parker. F Blues. Let's give this a try. Here we go. One, two,
Hi. I'm Jeff Antoniak, and very happy to be here today. I'm a saxophone player in the area, and I also teach up at Towson University. What I have going on new this summer is a project called Maryland Summer Jazz. It's happening Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, July 20th, 21st, 22nd, and it's aimed primarily at adult students. So it's kind of like a fantasy camp. The idea of the camp is that most of the people enrolled are adult amateur musicians, so folks that played in high school, played in college, maybe play in a wedding band or something like that, but all have regular jobs, everything from public school teachers, secretaries, doctors, lawyers, those kind of folks. The youngest person enrolled is a high school senior, and the oldest is in their late 60s. And these are all people that are looking for a place to play. Musicians that have been practicing, taking lessons, and playing in their basement. And at some point, you need to start playing music with other people. It's a social thing, and it's certainly jazz is a very conversational kind of music. So the way we found people was everything from word of mouth, done a couple, you know, little TV spots, advertising at music stores, and also a program I have called Jazz Band Masterclass, which is a similar thing, you know, people meeting in regular groups every other week, looking for a more intense experience. Between all that, I was able to fill up the camp this year, 36 people. As I thought about how I learned how to play, and as I continue to learn how to play, it's not so much sitting in a classroom or reading out of a textbook. It's essentially getting my butt kicked on stage by people better than me. And I think any musician out there knows what I'm talking about. That's the tried and true way to learn how to play, is play with people better than you. Your game gets better when you play with better players. So I got some of my favorite musicians in the Mid-Atlantic area together, many of whom are also university teachers. I myself teach at Towson University, so I got a couple of my friends from there, Steve Herberman on guitar, Frank Russo on drums, from the University of Maryland, Tom Baldwin, the bass teacher, from George Mason University is Wade Beach, great piano player, from William & Mary is Tony Martucci, our drummer, and also from Towson University, Jim McFalls, trombone player. So I found the best players that I know who also have a little bit of a spirit of education to them. We need a balance of both, but I really wanted it to be excellent world-class players. The camp is being held this summer in Rockville. We found a great location at St. Mark's Presbyterian, and it's right on 270 and Old Georgetown Road. So if you love the Beltway, this is the place to be. And the structure is, instead of really having a lot of class kind of time where we're sitting in front of a chalkboard and all that, it'll be people in a jazz small group. So a couple horns, bass, drums, guitar, piano, things like that. Most of the instruction is taking place in the context of a band. Instead of sitting in front of a chalkboard and being lectured to, maybe putting up your hand and asking a question, one of the professors, one of the teachers, our faculty, will make a point. They'll talk about a particular scale or a particular lick that they want you to play, discuss it, talk about it, but then we play as a band. So it's a very in-the-moment kind of thing. I think a lot of this developed from the program I started about a year and a half ago called Jazz Band Masterclass. That was in response to a lot of adult private students that I have who, again, were looking for a place to play. You know, for a cardiologist who's 50 years old, going into the depths of U Street in D.C. and trying to find a jam session at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday night, they're not going to do that. That's not comfortable. That's not realistic. So these people were looking for a place to play. So I started a situation where every other week a band would come together, again, a 5-, 6-, 7-piece jazz group. And we've been doing it at 49 West in Annapolis and also at the Latin American Folk Institute in D.C. It started from one group, and we're now at the point where there are 6 regular groups meeting. So there's really a demand for amateur musicians having a place for them to have an outlet. And at this point, we've been focusing primarily on jazz, but I can absolutely see that there are rock or funk or folk musicians in a similar boat. They're sitting in the basement and dying for someone to play with. And for all they know, 3 doors down, there's someone in their basement playing another instrument that's looking for the same thing. So really a lot of my job is to find these people. You know, I guess I'm acting sort of as a clearinghouse or an organizational aspect. If they want an ongoing thing, Jazz Band Masterclass. And for a more intensive thing, Maryland Summer Jazz. The levels involved in both the Jazz Band Masterclass and Maryland Summer Jazz, it's everything from pretty much the most beginner jazz player, which I guess to me implies someone that does a little improvising. In other words, they can take a blues or a song like Summertime, George Gershwin, and improvise a little bit, make some stuff up. If you're Bill Clinton or better, easily, that'll work out fine. You know, at the low end, someone that has some knowledge of jazz has listened to a little bit of jazz. Of course, many musicians fall into that category. At the upper end are day job kind of people, but they could be professional musicians, and they just made the decision, maybe a good decision years ago, to follow something else. But some of the top end people could be out there playing gigs in a restaurant that you're going to tonight, and you wouldn't really know that they're not professionals. They have a day job. So it's a pretty wide range of experience, and my job is to separate these folks into groups of like people, I guess. I certainly wouldn't want to put a beginner in with an advanced group. That makes no sense. They wouldn't be, neither person would be comfortable. So a lot of what I do is sense where a person is at, where their comfort zone is. And there's certainly education involved here, but I want people to have fun, be comfortable, and love music. Some people want to be pushed a little bit, and I try to read that. But, you know, a lot of what I want to do is give people a forum to have a good time. They can't do this on their own at home. So my main job is to organize and facilitate people to have a great time.
So how did that feel?
Oh, a lot better. It was better than yet.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hugely improved from last week. I thought there were moments in that one where it started coming a little more in glue than the first time through. But, you know, I mean, that was definitely a more aggressive tempo for people that haven't played together a lot. But I thought it definitely hung together, you know, definite improvement. That's great. You know, I'm not sure that there's much more to talk about with that. It's just a matter of doing it more, you know. I thought that was really good. So I was doing enclosures around a triad. So I was going, you know, 2-7-1. Then I did 4. And what I'm doing, I guess the best way to talk about that particular enclosure is a diatonic note above, a half step below. So let's say in the key of C, I was going, you can't sing.
There are a lot of people with loves of different styles of music and experience in different styles. There's a guitar player who is a great young bluegrass player who is involved wanting to expand his harmonic knowledge. So I don't know that he's going to be a jazz guitar player per se, but he really wants to beef up other elements of music that he can bring into his bluegrass playing. There are a lot of people coming from a funk and rock and roll background, and after years of playing in bars, they want to see if they can get a little deeper, or what they can, you know, what they perceive as deeper into their instrument, deeper into music, and they see jazz as being an avenue that way. So there are people coming in that, like I said, are maybe out there playing folk gigs, and they want to get some jazz elements into their playing. And they don't really know how to do that. If you're a working musician, let's say a folk musician, if you're out there playing gigs as a folk musician, it's a little strange to sort of go back to school and try to learn a new style. So this is a place where it's a safe way to do it and work with the best jazz musicians in town. At Maryland Summer Jazz, it's not only that you're being lectured to by all these fabulous people, but it's set up so that you're playing with them all the time. A drummer like Tony Martucci, legendary, he's played in New York with every jazz musician you can imagine. You can hear him at Blues Alley pretty much every week backing up a national name. How are you going to get to play with Tony Martucci? Well, come to Maryland Summer Jazz and you'll be playing with him 6 hours a day. So it's a great way for people of all levels, different styles of music, different genres, to get to mingle with some of the jazz heavyweights in town.
Jeff Antoniak on 103.1 R&R Sunday Brunch.
What is jazz and why should it be important? At least half the jazz musicians in town are going to beat me up when they hear, you know, any opinion is going to be a wild opinion, I guess. But to me, jazz at the core is improvised music. There's certainly a strong element of that. And there's also a feel to jazz. For many people, that would be swing. But I hear plenty of jazz with a hip-hop beat or jazz with a fusion beat, Herbie Hancock, whatever you want to talk about. There's some element of feel that's difficult to talk about. So when you put those things together, that's getting you towards what jazz is. Jazz began as dance music. It was music played in bars and brothels, and it has to have that element, I think. And that's where the swing comes in. On the other hand, in the 1940s and 50s, jazz started to become an art music. So there's a complication there that it's those two things. I guess it's music of the people, but there's also an element of art music. A musician's music kind of thing. It moved into the concert hall a little bit and got a little bit buttoned down. So jazz really has a lot of different faces. When you switch on, you know, smooth jazz or adult contemporary, that music has elements of jazz. To me, that's more like instrumental rock or instrumental funk. Pop music. I like it just fine. To me, there's something that's not quite jazz there. It's hard to put your finger on. Most people call that jazz today. A lot of acoustic jazz musicians might disagree. So it's very open to interpretation. A lot of those people cross over. And I myself play a fair amount of funk and R&B and soul music. And I love it. I grew up listening to Earth, Wind & Fire, Tower of Power, Al Jarreau. So, well, I love John Coltrane and Miles Davis. That's not where I came from when I grew up. So there's a combination there of all these different things. And that's what adult contemporary is. It's John Coltrane meets Al Jarreau, I guess. How the musician wants to realize that, you know, that's great.
Woke up in my clothes again this morning. I don't know exactly where I am. I should heed my doctor's warning. He does the best with me he can.
When Branford and Sting played together, that was a great moment in my life. I loved that. I thought Sting was a very smart songwriter, great lyricist. I love his singing. And Branford, one of the real major contemporary voices in jazz. So I love the fact that Branford did that gig because I think the two of them legitimized each other. The jazz head said, oh, maybe I need to listen to Sting. And people that were listening to The Police, you know, maybe said, oh, what is this guy playing? Maybe I need to check out some jazz. So I love the crossover stuff. And I think that band that you referred to, Dream of the Blue Turtles and all the stuff after it with Kenny Kirkland, all the fabulous people on those albums. That was great music. And I love the fact that those jazz musicians didn't have an attitude about rock. That the rock musicians came together and didn't feel geeked out by the jazz musicians. To me, that was a seriously successful album. Joni Mitchell is just such a serious musician in her own right that, to me, hooking up with Charles Mingus, Pat Metheny, Michael Brecker, Jaco, it just made sense. I just see that she's so on the cutting edge that how could she not surround herself with cutting edge people? And perhaps that took her into jazz for a moment. I don't mean to say that all jazz musicians are cutting edge and no one in any other genre is cutting edge, but at that time, I can't imagine who would be more so unless Stravinsky was still alive at that time. But, you know, it just makes sense. Good music, you know, a borderline genius surrounding themselves with borderline genius. It just makes sense. And at that point, genre and style becomes pretty irrelevant. Again, an amazing, smart, legendary band. Saxophone solos. You go back and there's Tom Scott. There's Michael Brecker, one of my favorites, an unsung hero named Pete Chrisleeb, who played the solo on Deacon Blues. He's a guy that never really left L.A., but he actually played on the Tonight Show band with Johnny Carson. So anyone that ever saw Johnny Carson Tonight Show, when they went to a break and they're going to commercial and you heard a killing tenor solo, Pete Chrisleeb. These days on the newer album, Chris Potter, great, great young tenor player. There are hundreds of examples of pop tunes with great jazz solos on them, whether it's George Benson or whether it's Michael Brecker playing on the disco albums in the 70s. I mean, it's just been done forever. But when it's a Steely Dan session and you're a jazz musician, you don't have to dumb it down, if that's the right word. You don't have to go in and try to play a pop solo. You can go in and do your thing and understand that the guys behind the window, the Steely Dan guys, are going to appreciate what you're doing and they're going to write around it and make it sound good. And I think they really want that cutting edge thing. That's what they're legendary for.
Jeff Antoniak on the Artist Interview on the Sunday Brunch on 103.1 R&R. We'll be right back.
next Friday, July 22nd, is the concert that is the culminating event of Maryland Summer Jazz this year. That Friday night from 7 o'clock till about 10 o'clock at St. Mark Presbyterian Church in Rockville, which is where we're holding the workshop. My quartet is called Jeff Antoniak and the Jazz Update. The quartet are part of the faculty, so that's myself, Wade Beach on piano, Tony Martucci on drums, Tom Baldwin on bass. And anyone that's heard jazz in this area knows those names. Those are the heavy guys in town. My quartet will be playing 45 minutes, 50 minutes of music. Then we'll be joined by the rest of the faculty, which includes Frank Russo from here in Annapolis, great drummer. Jim McFalls, fabulous trombone player, plays hip-hop with Chuck Brown, and then does world tours with jazz groups. I mean, Jim's a fabulous trombone player. Steve Herberman, another one of my compatriots from Towson. So it'll be basically a faculty concert, Blues Alley level, all these people we've all played, you know, those level of places, Kennedy Center. So a concert of about an hour and a half, and then we're going to take a break and come back after that with a jam session, including the participants from Maryland Summer Jam. It's going to be a great concert. The first half, definitely professional level stuff. And the second half, we'll see what happens. It's, you know, everybody sitting in and playing the kind of songs we just mentioned, standards. That particular concert, the tickets are $10 at the door. If people want to come, I certainly encourage you to. Tickets are available at instantseats.com.
All right, so let's play the tune.
And that's Jeff Antoniak on 103.1 R&R, sax player from Annapolis who plays jazz and has put together the Maryland Summer Jazz Institute, which is, you know, kind of a place you can go for a week and learn how to play better. And Jeff also putting on the great workshops at 49 West Coffee House every couple of weeks. Check over there if you want to find out more. Check out MarylandSummerJazz.com for more information as well. The workshop for this summer is all filled up, but maybe you can go check out that concert he was talking about. It's MarylandSummerJazz.com. And thanks to Jeff for talking to us about how jazz players fit in with rock music over the years and all kinds of other stuff here at 103.1 WRNR. Coming up on WRNR Part 3 of Voices of the Chesapeake Bay this morning with Dr. Laura Murray from Horn Point Lab. And